Hey, 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 what's going on, Podcast Nation? It's Jason Harris here, and thank you for joining me another episode of The Drive, Las Vegas edition. I'm here with Ted, an active engagement. Ted, thanks so much, man.
No, I really appreciate it.
To come jam
thanks
with
for
me.
Having me.
This is so much fun. We got a chance to, I know this is going to be a fun conversation for you guys to listen to because we got a chance to jam a little bit before we started recording. And this is going to be a fun one. But hey, man, we're here in Vegas.
We're like, here.
It's Vegas.
It's happening.
Right?
This is it.
You know, sensory overload. Like, there's so much everywhere.
If you've been coming enough, yes. Then there's a certain amount of that you expect.
You do.
You just got to give into it. And that's it.
Well, Ted, I love kicking off these podcasts with a little origin story. A, because I'm always fascinated, okay. Right? I don't believe anybody just wakes up one day and goes, yeah, I'm going to go spend the next 20-some-odd years of my life in the automotive industry. So, like, how did you get started in this crazy little world we call the automotive industry?
Well, It's we were talking about this briefly a minute ago, and it is absolutely one of the three things that you mentioned. It was just a total fluke, sort of. I had been doing some other things. I was out of college, and I was trying to figuring out what I wanted to do, and I had worked as a developer. I had worked for a bank for a period of time. I had done some commercial real estate, and I ended up starting this company with a guy that I had put into his space for commercial real estate that washed cars.
Okay.
On dealership lots. And so they used to have these machines that you could roll around, and they had purified water and everything. And they'd give them to the get ready guys.
Yep.
And that way they didn't have to like run through a wash machine. They would just go out and they'd gun them down and, you know, spray off the stuff. So all the stuff on the line looked good and there was no one driving. So you didn't.
I had a company come out and do that for my lot all the time.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so I had, discuss with this guy, you know, what he did for a living. It just seemed so bizarre
because
I was still on the outside of the automotive industry.
Yeah.
Now when you're on the inside, nothing seems that weird. But when you're on the outside and you someone's explaining something, you're like, really? That's a job? That's something
somebody
that
does
do?
That?
So effectively what happened is that I asked him about it and he was selling it to the stores and they were doing it there. And so I was asking him why people didn't buy it, and it was because they didn't want to pay for the expense of the machine.
Sure.
And so what we ended up doing was I made a deal with him. I said, if someone doesn't buy it, then let me know. I'm going to load like one of these big exterminator tanks in the back of a truck and fill it with purified water, which is one of the things that this did. And then I'm just going to drive it around, and I'll just drive the truck around, and I'll wash cars at multiple lots instead of you just selling it to the one.
Yeah.
And so I started washing cars, even though I had just recently been working for a bank. And that sort of snowballed into leasing get-ready guys back to the store and moving guys around, and I had a bunch of trucks and
I love it.
It was just this really bizarre thing that kind of came out of nothing like that. And then I sold that company, and one of the dealerships that I was supplying the service to asked if I would just come in and deal with the EPA and some other things. And, you know, I think that most of us in the automotive industry that have been around for a long time, you just start getting into problem solving, right? And so you're like, okay, so I'll come in and do that, you know, one day a month or whatever it is. And you come in and they start talking to you and you're like, well, what is that problem over there? And they start describing like, well, I could fix that. I could solve that problem.
Do one of those. Yeah.
So that kind of snowballed from there into parts, service, sales, service director, you know, all these other things. Yeah. And I started using some of my development background to develop like a way to use data. But this is like before CRMs and all this other stuff.
Yep.
To use databases to figure out, you know, how to do letters that I could print out, you know, with mail merges and things like that, and then email and stuff like that. And then I ended up getting kind of picked up by AutoNation. And, you know, from there, that was sort of where I kind of left the dealer side of the business. I was a dealer.
And that's when you kind of cross over to the vendor
side. And that's when
you came up to the dark side.
That's it. I think that's right. That sounds right. I look, I got to work with this amazing team at AutoNation that happened to be like everybody on the team. They were so smart and they just knew so much. I mean, you could just learn just by walking in the door.
Yep.
And they had this thing where they were trying to sell cars over the internet. And I had operational experience and I had development experience. So I was kind of like a middle
person. Yeah, you were like a Swiss Army knife at this point.
So that was good for me and for them. And, you know, they sold a billion cars. They sold $1 million worth of cars. Mm-hmm. Not a billion. I said that wrong. They,
I was like, that's a big group.
Yeah. and so they did it over the internet. And it was super successful. And then we started to get like attention.
So that's when it kind of started. You got bit by the bug when it comes to kind of the internet side of it, the digital side of it and the communication portion of it. That makes sense.
And so that became a very big deal. And I started looking at other things and consulting, and then I started finding niches. You know, the first company was
you're just a problem solver.
I think that's what we all are.
I agree. 100%. I mean, I look at it the exact same way. It's just like, and I am one of the first ones that will, I can fix that. Here, watch this. Doesn't always work for me. Anyways.
But I learned.
So what was that aha moment then with Active Engage? What was the problem that you saw and you're like, hey, there's a way this could be solved?
So this was back, you know, around 2001 or so. Okay. And this was, this was back in 2007. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wrong company.
So many problems solved.
So, but back in around 2007, what we were looking at that time was we knew that everything was starting to evolve. You were starting CRMs now were becoming more commonplace. Mm-hmm. Email was becoming more commonplace. Customers were accepting of that vehicle to be able to interact and stuff. And there was a lot more digital presence and websites were now proliferated pretty significantly across dealerships. And there just wasn't, they were getting online. And there wasn't a way to communicate through that medium. So you could get online and you could send an email, which may or may not get responded to in a day, let alone.
Yeah, I was going to say never in a timely manner.
Right. And the other thing that you could do was you could call. So you could just pull a number off the website and call, but you could do that. That didn't really feel very digital. And it also made you change mediums because you were getting off the computer, right? Yep. So we kind of looked at it and said, you know, what I think we need to do is train both the customers and the dealers to communicate through this internet service.
Yeah.
Especially
at that time. I mean, it was just, you know, it was all of a sudden people are starting to grasp the concept that, hey, I have my physical lot and then there's this digital lot.
Right.
And I'm getting more people visiting this lot than that lot. You know, how do I, you know, it's not that I can just go outside and shake their hands and say hello, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it was the difference between having a billboard and having someone that you could come up to and shake your hand and ask a question.
Yeah.
And so that was really how we looked at it. We were saying, you know, websites are great and they're great to engage and they're great to get reference information. And certainly someone can submit something to you and you'll get it. But what if you could make it walk and talk and actually interact with the customer? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we wanted to try to do. And so our initial look at this was, you know, let's just help the customer. You know, they don't know what they're doing. And and all this stuff is fairly new. And we want to kind of help them through the process. And we can talk them through this. And, you know, I had been training a lot of people how to handle phone calls, how to handle the kind of communication you would have through emails and things. And it's different, right? Everything is different. All that communication, depending on the medium, you're going to act or interact in a different way.
Yep.
And so we're like, this is a new way and this is a new thing. So it's not just that you can pick it up and go, oh, anybody can do this. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it on top of the fact that you need the technology there to be able to do it.
Well, I remember the first time I saw kind of this live chat function. It actually wasn't on a dealership site. Mm-hmm. It was 2009. It was, I don't even remember the site, but it was an entirely different vertical. But I was like, whoa, hold on. I can click a button and someone's going to we're gonna have a conversation and I don't even remember the site, but I actually do remember clicking the button, just seeing if it was a real thing, right? And I was just like, and you know what? The funny thing is, at that time I was a general sales manager, right? I was a general sales manager. I think the following year I'd become a GM at that point, and you know, but I'm like, you know what? I gotta do this, you know. And this was, you know, you didn't have support. It was like, it was something that you could set up. It was a piece of script that you could put on your website.
Right.
Right. But that's then, like, you had to be there.
Yeah.
If something came in, and in fact, I even remember the it actually like rang like a like an old like dial phone, you know, and it was like in my office, you know, and people were getting so annoyed by it because it was constantly going off, you know, but it was just like, yeah, it was just this. I mean, I was just blown away. It was just this amazing experience, right? Like, it's just like somebody's out there on my digital lot. They can hit this button and we can actually get into some real conversation.
Yep.
And, you know, and I honestly, at that time, like I was like, guys, this is changing the world. You have to look at this. And, you know, for some people, I think it did.
I think for some people it did. Yeah. I mean, for me, it did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right.
But yeah, the impact of it, I think, can't be ignored. And, yeah. You know, you can't really get away without it now. And, you know, we're quite pervasive across marketplace sites, OEM sites, you know, and we actually supply leads to about 14,000 of the franchise dealers, yes. Right? And so I think it has significantly to do the problem that you described. That was the other thing we were trying to solve for, which is you can't be there all the time. You know, you're already having to deal with people handling phone calls that you like and don't like the way they do that. Now you're going to write it down and give it to the customer so that they can come in and go, yeah, they didn't just say that. Let me show you what they said.
Let me show you what they said. Well, you know, and I always appreciated your guys' approach to it because, you know, I remember probably 2010, I actually spoke at a conference on live chat, funny enough, right? And I was at that time expressing my anger, actually, about, you know, there were these newer companies, not Active Engage, but there were these companies coming out and they were taking this amazing opportunity to have real meaningful connection.
Uh-huh.
And they started turning into a lead generation product. And I was just infuriated. I'm like, no, this is not what the purpose, like, now you're just turning the conversation into a glorified form fill. And I'm like, that's not what it was supposed
to be. I agree. I think that's,
you know, and I've always appreciated the fact that you guys have not.
Well, I think that's what people miss. I mean, you know, everybody wants more leads, but why do they want more leads, right? So you want to sell cars, right? And so I think that sometimes gets in the way.
Yes, it does.
Of the fact that, well, the goal is not to get more leads. The goal is to sell more cars.
Have more conversations.
Okay, so having more conversations, make better connections.
Yes.
And deeper connections with your customers. And in doing that, they're going to want to buy stuff from you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to want to interact with you.
Maybe it's the OG in me coming out, you know, but it was like, you know, I mean, I remember, oh God, I'm going to date myself. I remember getting leads through the fax machine. All right. At the dealership.
I remember that.
You know, right. And yeah. I'm just like, I effing hated these things. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't want a lead. Boss, put me in front of someone. Get them. Let me have a comp. I don't care. I'll smoke signal the conversation with them.
Right.
All right. But get me into a conversation because in the conversation, I can sell something.
Right.
All right. But when I have this, at the time it was fast, I have this stupid machine that's creating this gate between me and connecting this other person. It just made me angry. And that's what live chat just got me so jacked. I was so excited. I was like, okay, I can connect with them. Have meaningful conversations.
Well, and that's why we only offered it as managed. We didn't come out with offering it for the dealership until a little bit later because we felt, look, this is going to be different kind of conversation.
Well, and it takes a different person. I mean, that was the thing.
I think you also, there's a big value in also handing it off to the next guy, the next guy up the ladder, right?
Yes.
For the customer. Now they feel like, oh, I'm getting someone who's got even more information and who can help me even more.
It creates a really clean experience.
It does.
Right? You know, and I think for the most part, I mean, that's how consumers are, but that's what we're used to anyways, right? I mean, that's the path of any other type of support conversation that I go into, right?
Right.
You know, is that as long as I get directed to the person that's ultimately going to answer my question or get the information I need, that's all I care about.
Right.
You know?
But that was in the beginning. So now, you know, fast forward to where we are. So now we're all of those guys.
Yes.
You know? So. Now we're taking these conversations. In the beginning, it was that way, and we wanted to get as far through as we could, but we had limitations on what data was available, what vehicle information was available, what inventory information was available, and
what the dealership's process was, what their schedules were, who people were there.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, because of other people's technology as well, you know, we're able to know what all these things are. So, you know, you can chat with us, and we know the difference between shop time for an oil change and a transmission change.
Yes.
You know, and we can get you your loaner car or a rental car. Mm-hmm. We know all the different features and functions of every asset within a vehicle. We know what the inventory looks like. We know in most cases, you know, if it's an inbound vehicle or if it's sitting on the lot, or so the conversations become much more elaborate. And at the same time, we want to keep these conversations super simple, right? So we're not there to confuse the customer. You know, we're there to answer questions, and you kind of have to get like very engaged and interested in what the customer's trying to accomplish and let them try to accomplish that with you. And then as you're doing that, they'll just offer you the information. They'll just be saying, hey, listen, my name's Ted Rubin, and I really just want to get this thing, and this is what I want. Can you give me that?
What I think I've always appreciated about you guys' approach is you really kind of become a conversation partner, you know? And I appreciate that because, you know, I mean, talk about, for a lot of people, this is a part of the first impression that they're ever going to have of my business.
That's right.
And, you know, look, I was a dealership owner. All right. I would love to tell you that every single one of my staff members is going to 100% execute the first impression the way I wanted.
Right.
I tried, you know, and let's just be honest, guys. Come on. I mean, you're out there watching. Let's just be honest. You know, like, you're going to have some amazing people that can execute that first impression and handle that conversation in any way. And then you're going to have some that you wish they didn't answer the phone, you know. And well, you know, and it's funny. And we can kind of maybe bring it back to times right now, because I just heard an interesting stat. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd get your thoughts on this, is that currently right now, 80% of the sales team has only worked in the automotive industry for less than 2 years.
I get that feedback from the dealers that we have. I was in a dealership the other day, and he had just come out of like a training session with his team. And he's like, I'm literally having to tell people how to sell cars. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, all the people that I hired, a lot of the people that I hired was over COVID, and they have no clue what to do as far as actually like selling a car. They know how to take orders, but they don't know how to sell a car because they've never had to do it. And I was like, well, like a lot of people? He's like, yeah, it's like a lot of people on my sales staff now. That's what's happening. And so I know that from a lot of deals. I've heard that many, many times, you know. And so I think that you know, we do need to get into the focus of training these people up again, mm-hmm. and getting back to being dealers the way that dealers have always, you know, been focused on selling and training and understanding how to interact with the customer and, you know, just how to move people through the sale process in an effective way. Service as well, you know, same thing.
100%. I mean, even more so on service. Another stat I thought was super interesting, you know, especially from when we talk about the retention perspective, mm-hmm. right? And to me, you know, it's funny, people go, what are you talking about, Jason? Like, communication, retention, it all boils down to the overall customer experience.
And it's
never like, if there's a big problem in our dealership, we're usually really quick to figure it. Like, if the ceiling's leaking and there's a weird brown spot up there, right. It's like, okay, that needs to be dealt with, like, right. immediately, you know? But it's never a big thing that either makes or breaks the experience. It's always these series of very little things.
Right.
And, you know, I find that always starts at the moment they engage and we get into conversation.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. I think it's important what you just pointed out, right? Is that, you know, the conversation and the interaction with the customer is 100% what drives the sale.
Yes.
And when you treat it superficially, then you're going to get a very superficial response from the customer, and they're going to look at other dealers, and they're not going to interact with you the way that you want. You're like, oh, I spent all this time with this person, and I don't know. It's because you didn't really dive into what they want. You didn't really treat them, you know, with respect and with interest in the way that where you were communicating them. You were doing two other things at the same time. You were talking to two other people at the same time. You were not really querying, you know, why they were doing things.
Yes.
And all those things make a customer feel important.
Yep.
You know, and feel like they're listened to and that they're heard. And, you know, that's why I think, you know, there are other products out there that do this, that you can get Q&A or you can just get quick answers, but that's not building a relationship either.
Well, and I also think you're missing one of the most important elements of, like congratulations, you can have a conversation, but there's something that requires It requires some talent. And that's because, like, to show the intent to want to serve one another person typically right. comes out in the form of body language,
absolutely.
Tonality, and stuff like that. And you can express that over black and white text, but it requires a talent to do that.
It absolutely,
you know,
does.
It really does.
It requires training.
Yes. Oh, there you go. 100%.
Okay. And it requires, it does require a certain amount of innate talent or innate personality mm-hmm. type, you know, to actually want to help people. Right. And so you have to understand that what you're doing, and it has to be meaningful to you, that you are trying to help this customer. You're not trying to beat them to death to get the information out of them. You're trying to help them.
Yeah, I'm not just trying to do a Q&A at right. this moment. You know, it's like I am trying to actually show that I am here with the intent to serve you
right.
and what you're looking for.
I mean,
for.
That's what it is. And I think that where things get lost is, oh, well, I got what we talked about before. I got mm-hmm. X amount of leads, or I was able to get that guy's information. Okay, but, you know, do you think they're going to come in, though? Like, are they going to come in and buy? Did you create an environment for them where they're like, oh, yeah, I want more of that? Or did you just get the information, and now if you try to contact them with that information, they're never going to take your phone call because you didn't handle it well?
Exactly.
You know, and those are massive points of interest that I think that a lot of people, I think lots of people don't. But there are absolutely people who miss it, and they're like, well, I think anybody can do it, or I can just Bob over there and he'll, you know, handle yeah, these kind of 100%. Conversations, or, you know, we can just have, you know, a reference sheet there, or we can just have a computer talk to him, you know, for whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm not against AI or anything like that. I think that actually, I mean, we use AI and we do other things, but
when it's with
no
the intent to enhance a people and a process.
That's it.
I am pretty open, and I apologize if you're one of the vendors out there. But I'm very, very open about AI is not, we're not replacing people. All right. I don't give a crap who says what out there. This is a people business. All right. We should be utilizing amazing pieces of technology like this
absolutely.
To enhance our people, to make more efficient processes, never ever to replace.
Yeah. It's an asset, and it can make you very effective actually,
yes.
but it can make you effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine just earlier, and I was like, you know, AI, I think, has gotten this weird, you know, because you can talk to it, they're like, oh, it'll just have a conversation for you. And it's like, well, yeah, that's not really what it's for. And I'm like, you know, it's going to be great. One of the places that many have talked about that is going to be really significant is the medical industry and for diagnosis, because it can take in all this information and it can look at a lot of different information and kind of try to help you assess, you know, what kind of disease or what needs to be done or what kind of surgery should take place. Mm-hmm. And if I was a doctor, then I would absolutely have a tool like this to help me assess that. I know that none of my patients would go, I don't want you. I want the AI to operate on me. That's not happening.
Oh.
And it's the same thing. I mean, you know, you want to have a way to have assistance and to get, you know, a much more effective, much faster way to deliver information. But if you think that the conversation through a chat is just to deliver information and not to have a conversation, build
that's
a
right.
relationship.
It's the intention behind it.
Yeah, it's the intention behind it.
You know, and I do think, like, look, there's some amazing, and you know who you are if you're watching and listening. All right. There are some amazing
dealers. I see one of them.
You see one right there. He is in the corner. you know, but no, you know who you are, right? You know you took an amazing piece of technology like Active Engage and used it with the intent to not only just enhance your team and the overall experience, but you use it with the intent to connect. All right.
That's right.
You know, and then there are some of you out there that still use this as a lead generation tool. Lead generation was just a byproduct of this.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily the intent behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It is a byproduct of it. I think that it was a necessity because you had to build a value to the dealer
you had to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
see, I mean, because the conversation kind of, well, at not the case anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this too, because this is really my favorite topic. Right. But the conversation kind of lived and died on that desktop.
Right.
You know, and of course, yes. Now you got to drag that into your CRM and kind of continue the conversation there. You guys have flipped that note. We're going to talk about that. But
yeah, but I think you need to, you know, look, when we first started, there had to be some tangible way to assess, is this working?
100%.
And so a lead was this derivative piece that came out of the conversation that you go, look, we had the conversation. This is the guy, you know, he should be coming in. We had that part of the conversation, or, you know, this is what he wants and you should follow up on him to make that. So we're satisfying this customer. Here's the proof that we did that. And then your success in selling them is going to be the proof that we did a good job at what we told you we were going to do. And it somehow turned into more and more leads. Give me leads, give me leads, give me leads. And not, you know, give me the best leads or give me the leads where, you know, it's not really, it's, I just need customers that are going to buy. Mm-hmm. I don't need a lead. You know, I need a customer who's going to buy. And so the most, and there's no question that the most successful dealers, the most successful businesses that are selling things to people are the ones who constantly have customers coming back and back and back and back again. If you just whack them over the head with the biggest number that you can possibly hit them with, then they're not coming back to you. They may buy the one, but that's going to be the one, you know, and that's going to be it. And so it's giving this customer, number one, a medium that is their choice.
Yes.
You know, that they can interact with you the way that they want to. They know that you have a phone number. They know that you have a website. They know they can fax you probably still somehow. They can email you if they want to.
Actually, that's a good point. I'm trying to think, do I still have a fax machine in a dealership? I mean, if you do in the comments, please let me know. I'm just curious. But okay, so let's talk. Actually, I love the fact you brought up the fax machine because there's been like a lot. I do love fax machines. Okay. But we've had considerable technology advancements, and you know what you guys are doing from an SMS and a text message perspective just honestly just gets me excited, right? You know, because again, this seems like this was that next level, this was that next evolution,
right?
I mean, yes, we can take this conversation and still put it into the CRM, but now this conversation doesn't die, it stays there, it continues to live, you know, via text message. And you know, for the people watching out there and listening, don't know what we're talking about. Can you kind of give me kind of that rundown?
Yeah, I mean, it has to kind of live for a while because people interact with their phones and they'll interact for periods. I mean, I do it. I'm sure that you do it as well. And you interact for periods and you have a certain amount of intensity for a period of time. And then that's it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or you get busy with something else and go on. But it doesn't mean the conversation stopped.
Nope.
It just means that I stopped having the ability to pay attention to it for this period of time. And so, you know, one of the things that's super important when you're doing texting versus chat, which is on the web.
Yes.
So SMS or just texting or however you want to phrase it is something that, you know, this customer is going to interact with you. They may stop. They may come back an hour from now. They may come back a few minutes from now. They could come back tomorrow. Certainly, there's a point where you want to close out that particular conversation and then start another one if it's going to happen, you know, 3 days from now, 4 days from now, something like that.
Because well, at that point, it could be an entirely different conversation.
That's right.
Too.
It's a different conversation. But, you know, you need to be able to follow that through and understand what it is. And, you know, really the way that we even look at all of this now. So all these conversations are kind of converging on each other. So we're trying to track. We are tracking when there's a chat conversation. So something that's on the web for something, social media conversations. So I know that you chatted with us on the website or you chatted with us on something like AutoTrader and then you went to a Facebook ad or then you went to a Google ad and we had those social media conversations with you. And I can see these historical things that are there about
which
the conversation.
Just, it arms me as the user to just have a better educated conversation you because I now have this level of insights.
You have all these insights and let me tell you, these conversations are different on different platforms. You know,
yeah, totally
customers go there for different reasons. And so the questions that they're going to ask are going to be different.
Yeah, imagine if the conversation start, let's say, on Google My Business. Mm-hmm. All right. It's pretty low funnel conversation. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, because they actively searched my business.
Yeah, they looked for
they
you.
Came up, you know, which is very different than if it's on social media, you know, where, you know, I'm there to consume content.
Right.
All right. Maybe be educated or entertained and, you know, something pops up, goes, huh, well, that's interesting. Maybe tell me more. You know, it's just, but you're right. It's wildly different types of mindsets going into that conversation.
Yeah. So having that aggregate of information and seeing where, you know, a customer had talked, you know, about something in particular before. I mean, and there's an art to knowing what you can talk about and what you can't talk about and how you kind of bring the
information. So you're saying I shouldn't say, hey, Bill, so I saw you were looking on Facebook and I saw you clicked over to this vehicle and I know you're looking at the vehicle right now as we're speaking.
And you were here, and here.
So I shouldn't say that, right?
No, you shouldn't say that. Okay, right, I would say that would be bad. You'll see people run screaming from the computer probably and their hair on fire.
These are the ones that put tape over their cameras.
Right. That's right. I've done that.
They're all always watching and listening, Dad. They're always watching and listening. But no, I mean, just seriously, though, to me, the cell phone, the text message, it's the holy grail of communication. You know, and the reason I think of that is, like, I only text the people in my inner circle. Like, you know, I get phone calls
right.
from anybody.
Right.
I will get hundreds of emails from everybody. Sure. Right. But the people that I am texting,
right,
my coworkers, my friends, my family, like, that's my inner circle.
Sure.
You know, and for a dealership to have the opportunity to get into that inner circle.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Know, that's true.
I think it's huge. I mean, I have full transparency. Like, it's, to me, it's like, maybe I'm deep. It feels like the proverbial bat phone.
Right. Yeah. Well,
you remember the bat phone,
like,
right?
The bat phone, right?
Like, you know, little, just box, like, there's little boxes, right, and you flip it open and I'm like, Batman, you know, this, but it feels like that. It feels like that's the type of level as a consumer. That is what I feel like I now have access.
You don't just have access, you have control.
Ah, there we go.
Okay, so as a consumer, you get some control over, or at least perceived control over what's going on. And you do, I mean, you have, it's not as instantaneous or abrupt. So there's not an expectation. If you're in a chat and all of a sudden the guy stops talking to you, chatting with you, or if you're on the phone and that happens, then you know instantaneously, it's like, wait, what, hi, why did you go away? Where is that, you know, what's happening with that? But could go a whole 24 hours and wait for a response from someone. And on a text, you wouldn't want to do it as the dealer. Certainly you'd want to be able to respond right away, but you know, in getting something back from the customer, it could take a while. They could get involved. Well,
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think even as a consumer, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily expect that instantaneous reply.
Right.
It's just more like, and you said it earlier, you know, I want to engage with you when I have that moment to engage with you.
Right, we can focus on it.
And, you know, and maybe it's just more of almost just going to get my thoughts and questions out of my head. And if you reply to me in the next few hours or whatever, the next business day, as long, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's, but I can, and then I can re-enter into the conversation when, again,
that's right,
I have that moment.
I mean, that's usually what happens with text. And it depends on the consumer. There's different, you know, it depends, are they a digital native? Is it someone who's totally used to that? They're like, yes, exactly what you described. If it's someone like me, then I'm like, answer me now. You know, I want the answer now.
No.
So, you know, but it also depends on the vehicle that you're using, right? So chat, much more instantaneous.
Yes.
Text can take a little bit longer and stuff like that. What I don't want to see is three dots, you know, for the next 20 minutes, right?
I hate, like, the dots, Ted.
I hate the dots. Truly, when they just sit there, I hate the dots. Yeah, I don't mind the dots. I know you're doing something.
Yes.
But I want to know that there's going to be an end to the dots.
Yes.
That they're actually going to materialize into some sort of a statement.
Yeah. Right? I love it when they pull up and here comes your
disappear.
Dots went away.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, wait. It's back. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. So
no, I agree.
There's,
but that's also why, look, I mean, with the texting stuff, so that's why, you know, we're trying to move people now from these, you know, the density of these phone calls, you know, just to give you some insight, we have a new piece that's called Flip to Text,
yes,
where, you know, we've put this out. Now it gets installed on your automated call distribution piece, you know, when it answers the phone.
I think is ingenious, you know, it's just like, look, as a dealer principal, it was something that always stressed me out.
Me too.
Right? I legitimately stressed me out, but also from a staffing perspective, I just, what do I do? Bring four more people in during that 1.5 hour period?
And they're not solve the problem up, either. You know?
It's like, yes, you know, so like, I, you know, being able to call in, all right, hit number two or whatever one it is, and convert this conversation over a text.
That's right. And take it off the phone line. So now, you know, I think one of the things, it's not just that you're not answering all the calls that get through. What you also got to remember is you're blocking calls from getting in altogether. It's not just they're on hold for 15 minutes looking around for a salesperson.
God, if I was a service advisor, I'd love you. Well, I mean, but that's always,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, especially on the fixed ops side, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like, I was a service director for a while. Mm-hmm. I trained service advisors, and that call always comes when you don't want it to come.
Right.
You know, you're sitting there trying to check someone out on an $1,800 bill, you know, and it's just like, stop ringing.
Exactly.
You know?
And how great is it, though, as a consumer, to be able to, the first person you actually connect with, they can solve your problem.
Yeah. Right?
It's not going to be, you're not going to get transferred. You're not going to get moved around from one guy to another. Oh, you should be with Bob, not with Cindy, and you know, whatever. That doesn't happen at all. So that's the first one. I have a service question. I can handle that. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. It's a sales question. Oh, I can handle that also. You know, well, okay. Well, I want to find out if you have this car on the lot. Oh, well, I can tell you if it's on the lot. Let me tell you, and I can look at it too. Can you tell me what other cars you have that are like? Oh, I can tell you all of that as well.
What an experience, right? Yeah. What an experience.
That's what you want. I mean, when a customer calls, they're reaching out, and yes. Then you're going to go, not now. I'm too busy. Let me put you on hold.
Well, it's like forms on the website. Yeah. All right. if you want to talk to me, yeah. I'm going to need your first name, last name, email address, shoe size, blood type, and firstborn. Right. All right. Yeah, that's going to submit something.
Right.
I may or may not get back
to you. Yeah, there's a guy in the North Pole who's responding to all of those from 100%. All the dealerships. Yeah.
And if I do get back to you, it's probably going to get back to you with a thank you for your inquiry.
Right.
All right. Somebody will be contacting you when the hell it's convenient for us, not right. convenient for you.
Right. Not through the same medium either. Yes, they're going to call you.
They're going to call you.
Yeah.
But no. Look, I think you can hear me and Ted talking, guys. You know, if you're out there watching and listening right now, the bottom line is you gotta get serious about this, right?
You have to get serious.
You know, your communication is one of the most key elements, the first impression that they're ever going to have of your business. It sets the stage for everything, and it just shows how much how you intentionally want to serve the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, to me it speaks volumes. Like
if
someone is giving me that option to engage immediately, all right, let me ask the questions, and to your point, have the right person to answer.
Right.
God, it's just, that's the company I want to do business with.
I think, you know, that's why you see so much of it in industry and business, all mm-hmm. kinds of commerce and stuff like that, is because, you know, everybody knows that you have to satisfy the customer the way the customer wants to be. You can't tell the customer you're satisfied. Yeah, exactly. I solved your problem.
So, I answered your question. You asked if it was blue. I said it was.
That's right. You can go now.
You can go now.
Right?
No.
It doesn't work like that, you know, and it's interesting to me and a little upsetting, but it's interesting to me when dealers or whoever, you know, look at it and they're like, no, that's what we do. We know when they're satisfied, and we know what they need. And okay. I mean, I don't.
You're meeting the customer where the customer wants to be met.
Right.
Right. And anytime you do that, all right, you instantaneously create an experience that is just going to set people up above and beyond.
Right.
Right. If you're going to force me to communicate with you in a way that's convenient for you, that's not company I want to do business with, you know. And
yeah.
It's just, you know, I even think this back to just when I just recently bought a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will tell you right now, 98% of that conversation was done via text message. You know, it's just because I'm working, and then I had house mode, you know.
Right.
It was just that kind of
thing. Well, I mean, I think it's all about the luxury of service, right? I
yes.
mean, and it's not an expensive, it's not about the cost or the relative expense. I want something that's expensive. It's about, I mean, if you were checking into two different hotels, and one of them has three receptionists, and they yes. can all check you in. One of them has one, you're standing in line. It's the exact same amount of people at both. Same hotel, same everything. You're going back to the one that you got serviced best.
Yeah, 100%. That's it.
Okay. The rooms are the same. The hotels are the same. They're the same distance from everything.
But I have the perception that they cared more about me.
They cared more about you.
That's what I'm going back to.
And that's what it's all about. It's 100%. About how much you show that you care about the customer. That's what continually brings them back. And that's what makes them say, right. You know what? You get crappy service. You should go to my guy. You should go to my dealership.
Right. Because we have
right.
my guy.
That's right.
Right. He's actually probably saved. He's.
That's exactly.
You know, well, it's anything. Like, I got my plumber. Right. I got my heating and AC guy.
That's right.
Right. He's actually in there as my heating and AC guy, you know, and here, just text him. You know,
it's funny to me because we talk about this and as we're kind of joking around about it and everything like that. But I mean, that is the reality of the situation. People want to feel like I have a connection and that I've made a connection with someone, and what they're doing for me is really good. So good that I want to recommend it. And then I want to get kind of the accolades for doing a good job for somebody else. That's a friend of mine that I recommended them to this dealership.
We want to, when we have great experiences, it's in our nature to want to share those
That's
experiences.
Right.
We were just talking about sushi restaurants that we really like.
Yeah.
It's just like, you have that great experience. You want that other person to go have that great experience.
That's exactly
too.
Right.
That's what it comes
That's
down
exactly
to.
What it is. I mean, and it's 100% about the experience that you're having, and whether you feel like you're getting service, where you feel like you're getting respect, treated mm-hmm. well, that you're being thoughtful, or if you feel like you're being processed.
Yeah. God, that's the worst feeling, isn't it?
It is.
You know, and everyone out there, you guys, you're consumers too. You know when you're being processed versus when you're being taken care of. Look, Ted, I know we're getting towards the tail end of our time today. I'm confident we could easily go a lot longer. This has been seriously awesome conversation. You know,
no, I love it.
I just, and it is one of my favorite topics. I just, you know, I just love connecting with people, you know, and it's just like if any, you know, technology that helps the process to streamline or make it more efficient, I am so 100% in. So, guys, thank you so much, by the way, for taking the time. This has been an absolute blast.
Yeah, but before I let you go,
for everyone out there watching, listening,
see, I connected with you there.
We did. We had a full see the guys. This is what connection looks like. This is what connection looks like. Before I let you go, though, for everyone out there watching and listening right now who would like to connect with you and the company, all right, what's the best way to do so?
Come to the activeengage.com website. All my information is there. My leadership is there. You can connect with us that way. You can send something to ted.rubin, R-U-B-I-N, at activeengage.com. You can track me down. You can tackle me here at NAVA, whatever you want.
Awesome.
Always looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.